All right, everybody, and welcome to the fourth edition of Talking Tigers. This is a podcast brought to you by Win or Die Sports, and yours truly, Wesley Burris, and my co-host Taylor Griggs, who's over there chawing on a lifesaver package, breath saver, and he's feeling He's feeling a little under the weather tonight, and he probably ain't going to talk too much, but I hope he participates some. So we're going to truck along and have your ACC Coastal preview this week, as I told you was coming. And after that, because this is kind of painstaking to go through, but I did want to throw these out there. And, you know, after that, I think we're going to do a little shorter episode next week. We'll find something to fill in the time about the Tigers and over and all that kind of stuff. So after that, you know, as we get into the season, I've said before, we're going to do a recap each week of each ball game. It's coming to you probably on Monday nights. And this episode is going to kick off your Coastal preview. We're going to talk about the Duke Blue Devils. This is a team, Taylor, that, you know, pretty sound football team, 7-6 last season. They won their first four ball games, and then they lost to Miami big, had a battle with Virginia, got beat by Florida State in a tough one, Pittsburgh in a close one. VT and Army beat them, snuck up on them and beat them. That was a crazy – probably the losing side of it anyway. So, whatever. They had an okay season by their standards. They've fallen off a little bit in the last few years because they had a little run where they hit double-digit wins back in 2013, I believe. David Cutcliffe has done a pretty good job here. He's a great developer of quarterbacks. He runs a pretty good offense. He's got a bead on the passing game. I do like him as a head coach. He's pretty quiet. He's barely above 500 for his career. He's below 500 here at Duke. In 10 years, he's 59-67 there. But he's here, I think, just Duke wants no nonsense but serious, you know, coach to come in and take care of their football program, keep it competitive, I think, is all they asked for, and he's the right man for the job there for the time being. I'm sure they're looking towards a replacement in years to come, but he seems to have a lot of coaching left in him. They weren't a horrible football team, as I said. Offensively, they struggled. They had a pretty darn good defense. Offensively, they were 88th nationally, ringing up 384 yards a game. Passing, that was 213 of that, and that was 79th nationally. They rushed for 171 a game, that ranked 56th, and they only scored 26 points a game, which was 80th in the country. On defense, a little bit better numbers. Only gave up 20 points a game, that was 21st in the country. Only gave up 153 rushing yards a game, and that was 48th nationally. 180 passing yards a game, 16th nationally, and 333 yards total for the 21st ranked defense in the country. Their turnover margin was zero, dead even. That's how you get, I guess, to a 7-6 record. They beat Northern Illinois in the bowl game big in a quick lane bowl, 36-14. Had a winning record there for Coach Cutcliffe. Not a ranked recruiting class here. It looks to me like they had a nice little mix, a few wide receivers, and mostly, well, I say mostly, a good bit of everything, really. It was a nice mix. I don't know exactly what they were ranked. I don't have that information right here. But a couple of players of interest is Kendrick Terrain, and he's a big guy in the secondary that they hope can contribute immediately. And defensive end Taj Rice, he was their only four-star, and they hope he can contribute as well. Along with him, quarterback Gunnar Holmberg, 6'3", 180 pounds. He's a pro-style. And they think he's going to be the starter by around 2020. So these are guys that could get in there. You know, Cutcliffe's going to redshirt guys here and there. He's a pretty smart coach. They've got seven starters back on the offense and seven on defense. Pretty much from there, we're going to say Daniel Jones is returning starter at quarterback, backed up by Quentin Harris. At running back, we got a battle between Britton Brown and Deion Jackson for the starting position. At tight end, Daniel Helm will return as your starter, backed up by Davis Koppenhaver. At left tackle, we have Christian Harris and Jalen Miller battling it out there. Returning starter at left guard, Julian Santos. He will be backed up by Zach Baker. They're both juniors. At center, Zach Harmon, a senior returning starter, backed up by a junior, Alex Gourley. And at right guard, a new face, Rakavius Chambers, backed up by Zach Baker. He's going to back up both guard positions at right tackle Robert Kraling, and he will be backed up by Liam Smith. Wide receiver, we got three returning starters, T.J. Rimming, Jonathan Lloyd, and Chris Taylor, all seniors. They will be backed up by Keaston Fuller, Aaron Young, and Scott Bracey is the information that I have. Their key losses on offense, Sean Wilson, he led the team with 818 yards and was third in catches and fourth in receiving yards. And moving on to the defensive side, returning starter Trey Hornbuckle at defensive end. He's a junior backed up by Drew Jordan at the defensive tackle position. In the middle, Edgar Serenord backed up by Derek Tangelo. And I guess it's Tangelo. Could be Tangelo. I don't know. The other defensive tackle position, Trevin McSwain will be backed up by Axel Nwumbi. Defensive end, Victor Demukaje. I guess. Backed up by Terrell Lucas. Duke, you just recruit some weird guys. A weak side linebacker, Ben Humphreys, returning starter. He's a senior, backed up by Kobe Kwanzaa. At middle linebacker, returning starter, Joe Gills Harris. And he will be backed up by Xander Gagnon. Jesus. Corner, Mark Gilbert, returning starter. He's a junior, backed up by Miles Hudzik. At the other corner position, Josh Blackwell and Brandon Feimster will battle it out. At Rover, Leonard Johnson and Brandon Feimster will battle it out at that position. I guess that's sort of like a nickelback slash safety type position. At your strong safety, is returning starter is Jordan Hayes. He is being pushed by Dylan Singleton, however. And Marquise Waters will start at free safety, backed up by Michael Carter. Their kickers, Colin Wehrlum. And they're going to have their punter is Jackson Hubbard. And their kick return guys will be Deion Jackson and T.J. Rimming. Now, on defense, they lost Alonzo Saxon, who was the second leading tackler last year. He had 91 tackles. And that was the kind of guy that they really liked to play at the safety position. Byron Fields was a pretty good corner. He had three interceptions and seven passes broken up, which is a pretty good stat. So Joe Giles Harris is a 6'2", 240-pound guy that is going to play here at middle linebacker positions. He's considered one of the best linebacker in the country, possibly. You know, he has this year and next year to still play. So a lot of people are high on him. T.J. Rimming, he's been pretty good. He's a wide receiver, big play threat in the passing game. And they need some improvement at quarterback, I think. They had a solid year last year. I mean, he threw for 2,691 yards, but he threw 14 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. Got a cut down on the picks. And in the rushing game, he did also add 518 yards rushing, 3.2 a carry for seven touchdowns. So they've gone with the athletic quarterbacks the last several years at Duke. It's worked out pretty darn well for them. Their defense has a bunch of players back off of a pretty solid defense. The offense has veterans back on what needs to be improved on offense, but they have an offensive-minded head coach. That being said, Taylor, I know you don't know a whole lot about the Duke Blue Devils, but you know they've been a tough team the last several years, and they're going to play smart. They're going to get run over by your more athletic teams like Clemson, and that's going to happen. So, I mean, they open with Army. This is a game that they lost last year by five. What do you think happens there? It's that that mighty Cameron Outdoor football facility they've got there.
Probably lose.
You're calling a loss with all these starters back?
Yes.
I'm going to disagree with you on the first game we'll talk about.
They did it last year.
I agree. That's last year. A lot of players back for Duke. Revenge. At Northwestern.
Win.
Really? Okay, they beat them big last year. Okay, I'll give you that. At Baylor, not an easy three games to start the season for Duke. Baylor's a little down, but talent and speed.
Yeah.
What do you think? Call it.
Win.
Okay. NC Central.
Win.
Virginia Tech.
Lose.
At Georgia Tech.
Lose.
I'm going to agree with you on both of those. Virginia at home.
Win.
At Pitt.
Lose.
At Miami.
Lose.
North Carolina at home.
Lose.
Battle for the Bell. Victory Bell, I think it is. At Clemson.
Lose.
Wake Forest at home.
Lose.
God, my God, you have no faith in them. I'm going to have to disagree with you, not on a game-by-game basis. You
those kind of are losing hard eight games.
You think they're 4-8?
Go back over who you just said. And
Army, Northwestern, Baylor. So in the first three, I'm going to throw this out there. I think they could lose two. They could win two. So I'll give you the fact that you could think they lose two of those games, but I think you said they'd win two of them, didn't you? No, you said they would lose two. Because you said Baylor and Army, I think, would beat them, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. If I'm wrong about that, whatever. So two losses
no,
there.
I said
BT, Georgia Tech, I give you that. Pitt's going to be tough. Miami. We'll get in all these teams in just a second.
Those teams.
North Carolina's kind of down, man. And they've got those suspensions. That's later in the year, but I think they're on the Wake, though, we did say would be solid. That's a tough schedule.
It is.
You say 4-A. Okay. The national media, most of them say 6-6.
Wrong.
And I'm going to come right in the middle of you and the national media and say 5.
5.
Let's just split the difference there. All right, so we've told you some newcomers here and whatnot. Let's move on to our next team. This is a team I want to delve into just a tad bit more, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, because I want to mention this. I don't think that Georgia Tech can ever I've talked about this with a couple of my Clemson buddies, and I will say this. I think Georgia Tech, if they went out and they hired a more modern offensive mind and put some serious money into their facilities, I think they would have to do that first before you go out and make a hire, honestly. You ask some of these old engineers, these wealthy donors, to donate some money, upgrade your facilities, and go out there and try to get a new modern head coach at some point. Or because Paul Johnson, to me, all he's going to do here is he's going to have a season where he can win 11 ball games. But then that's going to be followed by a year like we've seen where he might win 3 or 4. And then he'd come back, might win 7, he might win 9. For them to sustain success, in my opinion, I see what he's doing. But I think if he went more modern, being outside of Atlanta, right in Atlanta, recruiting just that area, I think they could be better than what they are. Because they've had old school coaches now going back a long way. And I think they were more fun to watch, honestly, before they were this triple option team. Because when they play a team like Clemson or they play a team that's really strong up front, they can't move the ball. I mean, the Canes have pretty much had their number over the last few years. And I could be wrong about last year, but I think they've been – yeah, they lost. They only lost by one. But the Canes have had their numbers. North Carolina's given them fits when they had better linemen. Clemson's definitely been able to shut them down the last few years. And – I think if they don't get away from this, they're kind of stuck being that team that kind of floats from being a 5-win team to having a really good year, but never being consistently really good. I mean, they're tough to play and a hell of a hard game to scheme for, and you really want to catch them when you're off of a bye week or something, or be able to schedule a team like a Wofford or somebody that runs a similar style that you know you have better athletes than, because basically this is just – all these FCS teams that run this style of offense and Army and Navy, this is better athletes doing it. So it's really tough to play these cats. I'm not selling the Yellow Jackets short at all. And Paul Johnson has been a consistent winner. Just I know they want more. Two out of the last 3 years, they haven't made a bowl, and they're not happy with that. So that being said, last season they went 5-6, 4-4 in the Atlantic Coast Conference, though. And they did get embarrassed by Georgia in the season. And I pull for Yellow Jackets hard every year twice as a Gamecock fan. I pull for them against Clemson, and I pull for them against Georgia. But, you know, I've grown up watching this team, and it is fun when all of these teams around here are competitive. We know it can't be sustainable as fans for our rivals to be good, but it is more fun when they matter. I think Georgia Tech could matter. And I would be scared, even as a Gamecock fan, if they went to a modern offense, because I think they could just recruit way better than they do now, because now they have to get certain guys to fit the scheme. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that flex bone is just whatever. So last year they ranked 74th in total offense. They had 391 yards a game, passing only 84 a game. That was 128th nationally. They did rush for 307 yards a game. That was 5th in the country. They scored 28 points a game. That's 70th in the country. On defense, not great, but not horrible. They gave up 26 points a game, which was their biggest weakness. That was 63rd nationally. They gave up 153 rushing yards a game. That was 49th. Gave up 200 passing. That was 35th. In total, 354. That was 33rd nationally. And they were -5 in the turnover margin, which can't happen in the option. You can't fumble it. But they're going to fumble some of these pitches. That's what you get with this offense. Sometimes the fullback's going to – or the guy coming in motion is going to drop the handoff. It's just – there's a lot going on here. And if you blitz it, sometimes they can bite you in the ass, and sometimes you can just get in there and crush them, especially if your linemen are really good. They do have 9 starters back on offense, though, and 6 on defense. And last year, you know, I think they lost Ricky June, who was a big wide receiver that had 25 catches, and that's a lot in this offense. Lawrence Austin at corner is gone, and he was pretty good 3-year starter. Antonio Simmons at defensive end, he had a team-high 8 tackles for loss and 5.5 sacks last year. They're going to miss him up front on the defense. The key to the Yellow Jackets this year, Taquan Marshall's the quarterback, Parker Braun at offensive guard, and Andre St. Amour. He's a defensive end, 5.5 tackles for loss. They're moving to a new style of 3-4. On offense, your returning starters at quarterback, Taquan Marshall. He had a pretty good year last year. He threw 927 yards, which is, I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but 10 touchdowns, only 5 picks in this offense. He can hit the big throw. Rushed for 1,146 yards and 17 touchdowns at quarterback. Took a lot of big hits. He's growing into the position, but he is a good trigger man in this offense. And they give the ball to a lot of guys, but the last couple of years their quarterbacks have really carried the load here, and they take a lot of hits. Tough kid. He's backed up by Lucas Johnson at your A-backs and B-backs position. Your B-back is Kervonte Benson, returning starter. He's a junior, backed up by Jerry Howard. And at your A-backs, which are the guys that come in motion and whatnot, Clinton Lynch is a senior. He's back, returning starter at one side, and Qua Cersei at the other side, who they play the Game of Thrones theme music whenever he runs the ball. I thought that was pretty cool. He's backed up by Amari Jarrett, and Nathan Cottrell backs up Clinton Lynch. Your offensive line at left tackle, returning starter Jahaziel Lee. He's a junior, backed up by Bailey Ivemir. At left guard, Parker Braun returns as a starter, backed up by Brad Morgan. Kenny Cooper back at center. He's a junior. He's backed up by Scott Morgan, who's also a junior. At right guard, new face is Will Bryan. He's a senior, going to get the first crack. He's backed up by Connor Hansen. And at right tackle, you got returning starter Jake Stickler, and he will be backed up by Andrew Marshall. At wide receiver, one returning starter, Brad Stewart, I'm sorry. He's a senior, backed up by Antonicus Sanders. Jalen Camp is the other wide receiver, backed up by Jer Hawkins Anderson. On the defensive side of the ball, one of your defensive ends, or two of them, are back, but one of them is moving down from linebacker. Henry St. Amar is back as a senior at one spot, backed up by Antoine Owens. In the middle, you got Brentavis Glanton back. He's a junior. He's going to be backed up by Kyle Serge Henderson. They are going to alternate their nose tackle. I guess they might go two big guys sometimes as well. Outside linebacker, Desmond Branch, returning starter. He's a senior, backed up by Chris Martin, who's a sophomore. And outside linebacker, returning starter Victor Alexander, who will be backed up by Tyler Cooksey. Inside linebacker, one returning starter back out of two. That's Brant Mitchell. He's a senior, backed up by Bruce Jordan Swilling. David Curry is a junior, going to man the other inside spot at linebacker, backed up by Jacob Brashear. Other outside linebacker, Jaquan Henderson and Quez Jackson will battle it out there. At corner, it's all is up in the air. Lamont Simmons has inside track to one starting job, as well as a Johnny Kerr. They'll be backed up by Jaitlin Askew and Trey Swilling. At strong safety, Jalen Johnson is a newcomer but a veteran. He's a senior, backed up by Tariq Carpenter. And returning starter at free safety, A.J. Gray, is a senior, and Christian Campbell's a junior. And with kicker Sean Davis and Presley Harbin at punter. And in the kicking game, return game, you should have Brad Stewart and Nathan Cottrell. They're going to be battling it out there. Now, in the recruiting class, they weren't ranked as well, but they went they pretty much went after the secondary guys the most. Corner Jalen King was the headliner of their class. He's a 4-star, and he could compete early for playing times. Amari Walton and Juan A. Thomas at corner and safety. Charlie Thomas, they had SEC offers and elsewhere, and all ACC offers as well from all throughout the conference. They committed a big bunch of 3-stars here. Got a couple guys to flip from LSU and whatnot. It's a nice recruiting class. I think they pretty much – Johnson fills his needs, and he recruits to a certain – in a certain way, I should say. So the national media have him going 7-5 for the most part. I've seen some people saying they're going to be really nasty. They think this defense is going to be really good, and the offense obviously is going to be better. So I've seen people going as high as like 9 with them. Let's go through the schedule. They start with Alcorn State. Taylor, what you think about that?
Win.
At South Florida.
Win.
At Pitt.
Win.
Clemson comes to Atlanta.
Lose.
Bowling Green.
Win.
At Louisville.
Win.
Duke.
Win.
At Virginia Tech.
Lose.
At North Carolina.
Win.
Miami.
Lose.
Virginia.
Win.
At Georgia.
Lose.
All right, I'm going to call this. I'm going to say they lose to I'm going to say Pitt, Clemson,
Georgia.
Yeah, that's further down there. VT and Miami and Georgia. So 7-5, I think, is pretty spot on. I could see them winning more games than that. This option offense, as I said, is very, very tough to plan for week to week. I'd have to – I don't know. I just don't think that they're going to beat the better teams. And they could easily beat Virginia Tech, I think, or maybe Miami or Pitt. And I'm just calling those games to call some. But I don't think that they can beat Clemson. I don't think they have enough talent. And I really don't know if they have enough talent to beat Georgia after the big loss last year. I just really don't know if they do. So – I think them, Miami, and Clemson at least, that's three losses. So maybe the ceiling for this team is 9 wins. I could see that. But I'll go with our 7. We move on to the Canes. And they had a really good recruiting class, so they're looking up this year. They played in the ACC championship game and got demolished by the Tigers last year, 38-3. And they had the number 8 recruiting class and brought in some big-time players we'll get into in a second. Last season they were 10-3. Under Coach Mark Richt. I think people really think that he might be the best head coach in the state of Florida right now. I think that's probably where you'd have to say that. But I think Dan Mullen will give him a run for his money in the next few years. We shall see. It terrifies me that he's there. It honestly does. And I think Miami's kind of looking like the cream of the crop here in the Coastal Division. Last season, as far as big wins, they took down Florida State, which wasn't as big as normal because Florida State was a little beat up, but beat them by 4, always a big game. Squeaked by Georgia Tech by 1. They barely beat Syracuse, barely beat North Carolina. Took control of Virginia Tech and won that game. That was a bet that I lost. I remember that game distinctly. I was not happy with the outcome of that game. Got murdered by Notre Dame. Another game that I lost a wager on. The Canes cost me a couple weeks in a row. I just left them alone after that because I was kind of drinking the Kool-Aid. They were squeaking by, but they looked solid. Their defense looked really good. And then they started playing the good teams on the schedule, Notre Dame and Pitt and Clemson and Wisconsin, and just got beat up by all those teams in Pittsburgh. So, they beat the hell out of Notre Dame. Yeah, I'm misspeaking here. I really am. Yeah, I took Notre Dame in that game. That I look like a moron, but yeah, that was a waxing 41-8, so they kind of knocked them back to earth. So yeah, I was buying the hype there at the end of the year, and then they cost me late. And I think that they've got a good bit of guys coming back this season. 6 starters on offense, 7 on defense. So coming off a 10-3 season, Coastal Championship, a division championship, Mark Richt just getting it done very early here. They end up with the number 8 ranked recruiting class. And some of the highlights of that was the number 2 running back in the nation, Lorenzo Lingard, wide receiver Mark Pope, and the number 1 tight end, Brevin Jordan. They're expected to play immediately. Guard DeLone Scaife, he's got a chance to play immediately, as they say, as well. And then the defensive tackle, Nesta Silvera, ranked number 2 nationally. They're saying he's NFL all day. Going to be gone as quickly as possible. They're on the upswing as far as trending goes. They're going in the right direction. Richt seems to have a winner down there. Bevy of talent in the state of Florida, especially down there. That part, he's going to find it easy to recruit for years and years. Florida State, I wouldn't say they're down. I know I've said that, and I'm kind of down on them personally because I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach with the new head coach. I think the Canes are in a better position. They've got their quarterback back. They've got a tailback back and most of their offensive line. So I think they'll be able to move the ball better than last year. Some numbers from last year. The number 60 total ranked offense in the country at 403 yards a game. They had 242 passing yards a game. That ranked 54th nationally. Rushing 160 yards a game. That ranked 71st. And scoring 29 points a game, ranked 59th. On the defensive side of the ball, not great. Going to see improvement, I'm sure. 38th total defense ranked in the country, giving up 362 yards a game. Passing, they had 200 gave up 217 yards a game, 56th ranked nationally. 145 rushing yards is what they allowed for a 43rd rank. And scoring, they allowed 21 points a game, and that ranked 28th nationally. They were plus 13 in the turnover margin, though, which ranked 5th in the country. So that's that turnover chain stuff, all that.
Yeah.
You know, that I look for that swag. I saw the swag, and I think it could be back. I think Rick's a hell of a coach. I think, you know, he's in a position, I believe, there's pressure there, maybe not like there is at Georgia. Probably a more fun atmosphere, I would have to think. You're down there near the beach. It's nice weather. I mean, come on, man. I think it's got to be more fun than being in Athens. So go to their depth chart real quick. I'm going to run through this as quickly as possible, speed this thing up. We're going to start on the offense. Malik Rozier is back. He's a senior, returning starter quarterback. Nikosi Perry is supposed to back him up. At running back, Travis Homer is back as your starter. DJ Dallas will back him up at left tackle, Tyree St. Louis, and he'll be backed up by Kyleon Herbert. At left guard, Jahir Jones will be backed up by Denzel Boulware. At center, Tyler Gauthier returns as starter, backed up by Corey Gaynor. And at right guard, returning starter Navon Donaldson will be backed up by Delone Scaife. At right tackle, two new faces, George Brown as a junior and Zalen Zalante Hillary, a freshman, will battle it out there. And at tight end, a couple good ones, Brevin Jordan, who's a true freshman, and Michael Irvin II, who's a junior, are going to be on the field. It's a pro-style offense. The old – what did he call the damn thing at Florida State? It'll come to me in a second. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Here's their schedule, Taylor. So, like I said, you got a total of 13 starters back. And Mark Rozier – he set the Miami record for total touchdowns, which they have 31 in his first year as a starter. Shaq Quartermain at linebacker. He's a big-time player. And Jaquan Johnson's a safety who intercepted 4 passes last year. Their big loss is R.J. McIntosh, was a big 6'4", 290-pound interior lineman who left for the NFL. And Chris Herndon at tight end, he was – overshadowed by David Njoku, but he had 477 yards, 4 touchdowns. Chad Thomas at defensive end tied McIntosh for team lead in tackles for loss. And we'll get right into their schedule. So they've got their business of big players, but they've got a lot of talent coming back. They've recruited very well the last few years. They're going to kick the season off in Arlington, Texas, in Jerry World, with the Bayou Bengals. Your call.
Oh,
we've already called this a win.
Yes.
On our other podcast. Savannah State, week 2.
Win.
At Toledo.
Win.
Florida International.
Win.
North Carolina.
Win.
Florida State.
Win.
At Virginia.
Win.
At BC.
Lose.
You're on some – is BC going to win the Atlantic? Is that what you're saying? Duke.
Win.
At Georgia Tech.
Win.
At Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm. Lose.
Finish it out with Pitt.
Lose.
All right. So you got them losing, what, 4 or 5 games? Really?
4?
4? You got BC. I think you said BC. Okay, BC, Georgia, or BC, Virginia Tech, and Pittsburgh is what you said.
3.
That's not bad. I could definitely see that. Okay, 9-3. I don't think that's what they want. I think this season they think, okay, let's get by LSU. And we should win out till we get to Florida State. So I think they're looking at their – what I think they're thinking right now is LSU, Florida State, Virginia Tech. That's where their mind's at. And last year they lost to Pitt. Revenge could be on the mind. They did beat Virginia Tech pretty soundly. So I'm going to go a little higher than you. I'm going to say 10-2. But I can definitely see 2 losses. And I think they will probably meet Clemson. And we'll get into that later, but I think they'll probably meet Clemson in the title game. So we can move on to the Tar Heels, who had just had some mess go on in the last little bit. They have some suspensions. How many players do I think it ended up being 6 or something like that?
Yeah.
Or suspended for like 4 games or something. They can do it at their discretion. It's some big-time players, though. It's Chas Surratt, their quarterback. We'll get into that. I think Larry Fedora has recruited some talent here, but they looked really rough last year. I didn't buy their defense at all. Not one bit last season. And that kind of started in the game against Cal. I saw that they couldn't stop the pass, and then they just had problems. And then that game with Louisville was crazy. They lost by double digits, but it was just sloppy. I saw that both teams weren't that great defensively. 3-9 record for the Tar Heels last year. They were 1-7 in the conference. They beat Pittsburgh, who was a tough ball club, and that's the only win they had in the conference last year. Run it down real quick. They lost to Cal 35-30, Louisville 47-35, beat Old Dominion by 30, lost to Duke, Georgia Tech, Notre Dame. All these are double-digit losses until you get to Virginia, close game. VT blew their doors off, lost to Miami in a squeaker, beat Pitt, beat Western Carolina bad, and then lost to NC State by double digits. So we had Chassaradu sit at some point, I think, including the storm. I think they will suspend him for the first game is what I saw. Don't hold me to that. He had 8 touchdowns and 3 picks last year, 1,342 yards. He also ran the ball for 210 yards. They just didn't look sound on offense. They finished 96th in total offense last year with 370 yards a game. Excuse me. They passed for 225 a game. That ranked 70th nationally. Rushed for 144. That ranked 90th. They scored 26 points a game, which ranked 83rd. On defense, they gave up 31 points a game. That was 88th. Rushing, they gave up 213. That was 113th nationally. Passing, they gave up 223. That was 63rd. Total defense, gave up 436, and that was 99th nationally, 12th in the conference. Minus 6 in the turnovers, that was 103rd nationally as well. Most people have them projected to win about 3 or 4 games this season. Nobody is high on them at all. They have 5 starters returning on offense, 7 returning on defense. They lose Bentley Spain on the offensive line. He had 31 starts, and they had a bunch of injuries there, and that's why the offense sputtered. Austin Prohl missed 6 games of his senior year, but had 91 catches and 1,265 yards and 5 touchdowns in his career. He was a playmaker the last couple of years, a little slot guy. MJ Stewart at corner, he has the school record for career pass breakups with 47, 12 last year, and was honorable mention All-ACC twice. He's gone. This year they're going to lean on guys like
– that was Ricky Prohl's son.
Yeah. How about Anthony Ratliff Williams, he led the team in catches last year. He's back. He's got 630 yards and 6 touchdowns last season. Cole Holcomb led the team in tackles with 93 for the second year in a row, 2.5 tackles for loss, and a fumble recovery as well. And at defensive end, Malik Carney, who's a nice player, led them in sacks 5.5, 12 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles, and had 57 tackles at defensive end, which is pretty solid. Like I said, 5 starters back on the offense. Larry Fedora is a pretty good offensive mind, I'd say. I think that's putting it mildly. But I do think there's some craziness going on here right now. There's discipline issues at North Carolina. It's always a team that I've despised. I hate them in all sports. I just can't like them one bit. They're number 3. Yeah, they're number 3 on my shit list. Maybe number 4. They're interchangeable, but they're in the top 5. There's no doubt about it. And I would say this. They've got some pieces here, but there's guys that can big time guys that are supposed to contribute that are going to miss a lot of time this year. They're going to miss 3 or 4 games apiece. The suspensions could come anywhere. You know, let's go over the things real quick because I want to delve into their schedule, and I think this could be bad. I haven't looked at this yet. I honestly have not looked at their schedule. I've looked at things about them, so I want to kind of surprise myself and get to that. That's going to be fun for me to analyze. They did have the number 23rd ranked recruiting class in the country, so Fedora kept it together and keeping the talent coming. He had his best recruiting class. William Barnes at offensive tackle is a big-time guy, and he's Jordan Adams also on the defensive line. He's the son of Deke Adams and one of the top receiver – hold on a second. You know, son of defensive line coach Deke Adams is one of the top wide receivers in the country, prospects in the country. So another wide receiver, Deame Brown, Antoine Green, and quarterbacks Jace Reuter and Cade Fortin. They have a bunch of talent coming in here, man, some solid players overall. And I think some will contribute immediately because they've had, like I said, they've had some problems. They weren't very good last year. They've been on the downswing here in the last couple years under Fedora, where they hit a high note a few years ago playing the Tigers in the championship game. Those days are gone right now. Don't seem to be coming back anytime soon. At quarterback, returning starter Chaz Surratt will sit four games at some indeterminate point in the future, as far as I know right now. He's backed up by Nathan Elliott. These are athletic guys. This is kind of offense up-tempo spread. You know the drill. Jordan Brown returns. He's a junior returning running back. He's going to be backed up by Michael Carter at left tackle. William Sweet, Mason Veal will battle it out there. Nick Polino and Jonah Melton will battle it out at left guard. J.J. McCargo and Jonathan Troll will battle it out at center. Another battle at right guard, Tyler Pritchett and Brian Anderson. Just woes last year on the offensive line. They're going to have to find new guys. Right tackle, Charlie Hicks, the only returning starter on the line. He'll be backed up by Jordan Tucker. And at tight end, you got Brandon Fritz, who's a senior, backed up by Carl Tucker. And at wide receiver, you got Daz Newsome, Jordan Adams, Thomas Jackson, Deame Brown battling it out for one spot. One returning starter, Ratliff Williams, and he will be backed up by Bo Corrales. And there you go on the offensive side of the ball. At on the defensive side, a little bit, I guess you could call it better. They were a horrible defense last year. Seven of them are back. At defensive end, Toman Fox and Alan Carter will battle it out at one spot as the new defensive end to replace Malik Carney. Or not Malik Carney, I'm sorry. I misspoke. Malik Carney is the other end. He's backed up by Tyrone Harper. At defensive tackle, Jason Strobridge is returning starter. He'll be backed up by Jalen Dalton. Aaron Crawford and Jamiah Clark are your other defensive tackles. Aaron Crawford is also a returning starter. Cole Holcomb is a starter linebacker. He's a senior backed up by Malik Robinson. Your other linebackers are Jonathan Smith and Dominic Ross, backed up by Alan Artis and Matthew Flint. At corner, we've got a battle between Patrice Rene and C.J. Cotman. And at the other corner position, K.J. Sales is a returning starter backed up by Miles Wilfolk. And at free safety and strong safety, respectively, your returning starters are Miles Dorn and J.K. Britt. And then Miles Dorn will be backed up by D.J. Ford at free safety. And Trey Shaw will back up J.K. Brent at strong safety. Freeman Jones is your kicker. Hunter Lent is your punter. And Anthony Ratliff Williams is going to be your return man. It seems like he's one of their most explosive players. They're putting a lot of trust in him. Got a tough schedule, I think, Taylor. First game's at Cal.
Who was it? Loss.
Oh, that sounds great. I think it's a loss, too. The hell with the Tar Heels. At East Carolina.
Loss.
If East Carolina wasn't such a dumpster fire, I would say a definite loss. But they've been bad. I don't know. I'm calling a loss, too. I think they start 0-2. Central Florida. That could be another loss.
Yeah.
They beat Pitt last year, I believe. That was their only conference win. So what do you call that the next week? We got them 0-3 so far. Or possibly 0-3. I'd say no better than 1-2.
Loss.
Damn. At Miami.
Loss.
That's a loss. VT at home. VT's got talent coming back, man. North Carolina really doesn't.
Loss.
At Syracuse.
Loss.
At Virginia. Did squeak one out. Squeak one out against the Cavs. Maybe. Georgia Tech.
Loss.
Damn, Taylor. At Duke.
Win.
The Catamounts of Western Carolina. Let's play them again. We beat them 65-10 last year. Let's get them back on here.
Guess they'll win that, too.
And then the Wolfpack to round it out, who I think we've already picked on our other
to
on
beat
our Atlantic preview. Yes.
Yeah.
So, man, you've – holy shit. Look, they won four last year. Is that what I said, or was it three? They won three last year. They went 3-9. I'm gonna say they somehow get three or four wins. I'm not calling anything more than that. I don't know who it's gonna be against, but I don't think it's gonna be much more than that. They're not going bowling. I don't think so. And the national media have said 4-8, 2-6 in the conference. So I don't know who they're picking for them to beat, but I don't think it's going to be much better than that. And I did want to elaborate. I knew that schedule, because I hadn't looked at it, that looks rough for them. That's a bad schedule. That's a tough schedule for anybody, and that's a really tough schedule when you have the lack of talent that North Carolina seems to have that's readily available to play right now. I mean, I don't know if some of the freshmen might help. We'll move on to Pittsburgh, and Pat Narduzzi's team, they kind of took a back step in 2017. They went from back-to-back eight-win seasons down to five. And last season wasn't too good for them. They're always a tough team up front, it seems like. They have good linemen, good defensive linemen. They wrap up and tackle, but they just lack a little bit of athleticism sometimes and speed. And in this league, unless you have a bunch of seniors and juniors at a place like Pittsburgh, they're probably not going to compete as well. They were 5-7 last year. They beat Youngstown State, but then lost to Penn State, Oklahoma State, Georgia Tech. Beat Rice, then lost to Syracuse, NC State. Beat Duke and Virginia, then lost to North Carolina and Virginia Tech, and then beat Miami, which was a shocker. So that was like winning the – honestly had to feel like winning a championship to them last season. Ben DiNucci, their quarterback, he's gone, leading passer, and their second leading passer, Max Brown. DiNucci had 1,091 yards passed, five touchdowns and five picks. Max Brown had 997, and he threw five touchdowns and two picks. You do have Kenny Pickett back, who played some 500 yards, a touchdown and an interception. Their two top rushers return, and this is a school that's known for running the football, obviously. Last season, they were 101st in scoring offense at 24 points a game. Rushing, they had 148 for 86 nationally. Passing, 217, 73rd nationally, 366 yards a game. That ranked 97th. So, not a very good offense, and that can lead, when you don't have a good defense, that's going to lead to a losing record, which they had. And their defense was 69th nationally at 396 yards a game. They gave up 254 through the air for 106th rank, 142 on the ground. That was 41st. And they gave up 26 points a game, which ranked 65th in the country. Now, they did have a decent recruiting class, a few four-stars, but not a ton. They were ranked they had the number five all-purpose back. And this guy was Salahuddin, Michelle Salahuddin from Washington, D.C. He was a Southern Cal commit, and they got him to flip. He had 1,274 yards and 12 touchdowns as a senior. And this is a deep backfield, like we said. They've got guys back that have touched the ball, and I think something like 14 touchdowns coming back from the running back position overall. Some pretty solid recruits, filling holes, doing what they need to do, and we don't need to get long-winded on them because I don't know a lot about the Panthers, honestly. Go to their losses real quick. Jordan Whitehead was a two-time All-ACC selection at safety. He was really good on defense, and he's gone now. Brian O'Neill, he was a tackle that converted from tight end. He was a two-time All-ACC pick and left for the NFL early. So this is just two big guys. Big-time guys are gone. And Avante Maddox at corner, he was a four-year starter. He had 183 tackles, eight picks, and 42 pass breakups. Just a stud for them in the defensive secondary. The key guys this year, Kenny Pickett's got to step up at quarterback. He started the season finale against Miami, had 253 yards, three touchdowns, and they had a big upset against the Canes that day. Oluwazin Idawu at linebacker, he was second-team All-ACC last year, led the team in tackles with 94. Had 11.5 tackles for loss and five sacks. Rafael Arahu Lopez is their most experienced receiver coming back. He had 43 catches, 531 yards, and two touchdowns. Not very impressive numbers there. Four starters back on offense, seven back on the defense. Let's start at quarterback, where Kenny Pickett's going to get the nod. He played, like I said, against Miami. Played late last year, ended up with 500 passing yards. He'll be backed up by Ricky Town. At running back, Darren Hall and Quadre Olison both started last year, both played very well. They'll be backed up by George Aston and A.J. Davis. Two of these guys are being talked about as possible NFL players, maybe late draft picks, but solid running backs. At left tackle, Stefano Millen, senior, will battle it out with Bryce Hargrove at that spot. Chase Brown, a junior, penciled in as a starter at left tackle. He'll be backed up by Mike Herndon. Jimmy Morrissey, a returning starter at center. Be backed up by Owen Drexel. At right guard, you got Connor Dentino. He'll be backed up by Mike Herndon as well. Right tackle, Alex Bookser. He's a returning starter, a senior, backed up by Jerry Drake, who's a freshman. At tight end, Tyler Sear, backed up by Grant Kerrigan. Wide receiver, all new faces, Rafael Rahu Lopez, as a starter, a new face, I should say. Aaron Matthews, Trey Tipton, Maurice French. Those are your guys that are going to be coming in at wide receiver. At defensive end, returning starter Dwayne Hendricks, He's a senior being backed up by Rashad Weaver, who's a sophomore. Shane Roy, another senior on the defensive line. He's at tackle, backed up by Jalen Twyman. Sophomore Keyshawn Camp, the starter at the other tackle position. He's going to be pushed by Amir Watts, who's a year older than him. At defensive end, James Folston Jr. and Patrick Jones will battle it out there. All three linebacker starters are back. Elijah Zaced, outside linebacker, backed up by Chase Pine. Saleem Brightwell, another starter at middle linebacker, is a junior, backed up by Quentin Wergenis, who's a senior. And Oluwazin Idawu is going to start at the other outside linebacker position. He's a senior, backed up by Anthony McKee. In the secondary, you got one starter back, Dane Jackson, at corner. He's a junior, backed up by Felipe Motley. The other corner position, Paris Ford, who's a freshman, will battle Theron Coleman, who's a sophomore for that spot. At strong safety, Phil Campbell and Dennis Briggs will battle it out. One's a sophomore, one's a senior. We'll see what happens there. Damar Hamlin at free safety is a junior, penciled in as a starter. He'll be backed up by Bryson Gardner. At kicker, you got Alex Kessman, a sophomore. At punter, you got Chris Christendolu. And Maurice French is supposed to be your return man. Let's get into the schedule. This is a hard-nosed, pro-style, old-school football team, no doubt about it. Sometimes they go a little up-tempo. They have in the past, but they like to run the football first. Albany is their first game.
Win.
Penn State.
Lose.
All right. Georgia Tech.
Lose.
At North Carolina.
Win.
At Central Florida.
Win.
Syracuse.
Lose.
At Notre Dame.
Lose.
Duke.
Win.
At Virginia.
Win.
Virginia Tech.
Lose.
Wake Forest. At Wake Forest.
Lose.
At Miami.
Lose.
All right, so it sounds like you got like 5-7, 6-6 is what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. I don't think I can disagree with you on the games you called a loss. The national pundits seem to think this is a 6-6 team. Could possibly go 4-4, maybe 5-3 in the ACC. I could see them contending here a little bit. Or not contending, but being competitive. Obviously, there's talent up there where they are. They got a good coach. I think they'll keep the program at a steady level. They're not going to be a bad football team, but they're just not really good right now. And I do think the defense has a chance to take a big step in the right direction. You could have a top 40, top 45 defense maybe with this team this year. So I think that if the offense makes improvements, so could they. So the ceiling to me is probably like 7 or 8, I think. Maybe 8. I'd say 8. And right where we have them is probably about right to just to predict it this early anyway. We're going to move on to the Cavaliers, who are awful. They're just – this is a bad football team. Bronco Mendenhall is a good coach. I don't know. I mean, I know if he's not Mormon and that's why he left BYU, I guess, and maybe for money and whatever. I'm sure there's plenty of money at BYU. I mean, but my God, I mean, I don't really know why he wanted to come here. I've always heard this stuff about Virginia being a fertile recruiting ground, and it is around the Norfolk area and the Hampton Roads area on the east coast of Virginia. And then the mountainous region right around where Virginia Tech is, Blacksburg, where my dad's from up in Bluefield and around that area. Those are your old school, you know, hillbillies and big, thick white boys and all that stuff. And the other part of the state is more minorities. And that's where a lot of your guys like Allen Iverson and Michael Vick and all those guys have come from, that part of the state. I guess he saw that here, and that's what I've been hearing for years and years and years. This team was very good under Al Groh a long time ago, and I don't know what has happened in the last several years, but they have fallen apart. They've made some bad coaching hires. The guy from Richmond, can't call his name right now. They had 6 wins under Mendenhall last year, and that was his second year as a head coach. He won 2 games the year before that. This team was 6-7. They did make a bowl and got embarrassed by Navy in the bowl 49-7. But last season, they opened up beating William and Mary, lost to Indiana. They then won 4 straight against Connecticut, Boise State, Duke, and North Carolina. And then they lost 2 straight to BC and Pitt, beat Georgia Tech, and then lost out. 4 straight, lost to Louisville, lost to Miami, lost to Virginia Tech, lost to Navy, all by double digits. 2 games in embarrassing fashion. Navy just beat them down, ran all over them. But last year, Kurt Benkert was a decent quarterback. He's gone now, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He really worked well in Mendenhall's system as far as passing. But here's what's crazy. You heard what I just said, right? This guy threw for 3,200 yards, 25 touchdowns and 9 picks. That's good anywhere. Okay, yeah. That's really good numbers anywhere. Their offense ranked 107th in the country. Wrap your mind around that. They threw for 248 a game and ranked 51st in passing. But in rushing, they were 93 yards a game for the 128th ranked rush defense. Only scored 22 points a game. That was 107th nationally. And only had 342 yards a game. Just no help for him at all. That's all they could do was him to throw the football. And he threw for a ton of touchdowns. I guess that's why they made a bowl. You got to put it all on that boy's back, the defense, because the defense in total defense was 40th in the country, 7th against the pass. They gave up 365 yards a game total, 165 passing. They gave up almost 200 rushing, though, for the 102nd ranked rushing defense in the nation, 28 points a game. That was 78th national. They were minus one turnover margin. Most people have them predicted to win anywhere between like 4 and 6 games, whatnot, what have you. They have 5 starters back on offense, 6 on defense. Kurt Benkert is gone. Like we said, he had the deep passing threat, and they're going to be lacking that. So a big battle here between newcomers for the quarterback position. Quinn Blanding was a 4-year starter at free safety, 495 career tackles at free safety. That's the most in program history and the most in ACC ever for a defensive back. That's pretty special right there. Micah Kaiser finished his college career with 411 tackles. That's 5th in school history and 19 sacks in his career. Your key guys this year, Jordan Ellis, he's got to be back. He led the team with 836 yards on 215 carries. They say he's a hard worker, and he's going to be the featured back this season as well. Juan Thornhill is going to play multiple positions, defensive back, corner or safety. He's athletic. Olamide Zaccheaus, a wide receiver, he had 1,077 combined yards rushing and receiving, so they're going to expand his role, they say, get him more involved in the offense. So Bryce Perkins, a junior, and Brennan Armstrong, a freshman, will battle it out for quarterback. Jordan Ellis will be the starter, returning starter at running back. He's a senior, backed up by P.K. Keir. At left tackle, Marcus Applefield and Ryan Nelson will battle it out for that position. Left guard, R.J. Proctor is and Ben Knutson. That's who's going to battle it out there. Dylan Rinksenmeyer is your returning starter at center. He'll be backed up by Tyler Fannin. Jake Fielder is your returning starter at right guard, backed up by Ben Trent. Right guard, Chris Glazer, backed up by Garrick Vollmer. At tight end, you got returning starter Tanner Cowley, backed up by Evan Butts. And at wide receiver, one returning starter, Joe Reed. He's a junior, backed up by Darnell Pratt. And the other wide receiver position, Olamide Zaccheaus and Terrell Jana will battle it out there. And Hasse Dubois will battle it out with Sean Smith. Hellacious names there. The defensive side of the ball, 6 starters returning. Mandy Alonzo, a sophomore, and James Trucolo will battle it out at defensive end. Returning starter on the defensive line, the lone returning starter there is Eli Handback, backed up by Mandy Alonzo there. Richard Burney and Tommy Chris will battle it out at the other defensive end spot. Outside linebackers, Charles Snowden, backed up by Elliot Brown. Jordan Mack, returning starter, inside linebacker. He's a junior, backed up by C.J. Stalker, who's a senior. Malcolm Cook, another senior, is going to be penciled in as your other inside linebacker in the 3-4. He'll be backed up by Zane Zandier. And outside linebacker, we've got a returning starter, Chris Peace. He's a senior, backed up by Matt Gam. At corner, one returning starter, Bryce Hall, backed up by Rhea Burton. Tim Harris and Darius Bratton will battle it out in the other corner spot. Brenton Nelson returns a starter at strong safety. He's a sophomore, backed up by Nick Grant. And Juan Thornhill, a senior, returning starter at free safety, backed up by Joey Blunt. Kicker A.J. Maya and punter Lester Coleman. Your kick returner will be Joe Reed, and Juan Thornhill will be your other returner. They had a pretty decent recruiting class from what I've heard. He had proof that his plan's been working here, and they only signed 3 players in state, though, so he has to change that. So they do have a junior college transfer, Brian Perkins. That's the quarterback I was meaning that was gonna battle there, and they signed three big-time wide receivers. One of them is Polynesian. Who is that? What's his name? Ugo Abasi. Okay. He's from Baltimore. So, most people say 4-8, 5-7. We'll get into it. Richmond, Spiders, week one. I know you're just really just gonna throwing out like a 50-50 here for these games. Cause
win.
At Indiana.
Win.
No. Ohio.
Win.
Maybe. Louisville. I think lose. It's a loss. It's at NC State. I think it's a loss. How about you?
Yeah.
Miami.
Lose.
At Duke.
Lose.
North Carolina.
Lose.
I think he said they'd beat North Carolina. I think we only had them winning one or two games. Pitt.
Lose.
Liberty.
Win.
At Georgia Tech.
Lose.
At Virginia Tech. This team's not going to a bowl. All right, so let's go to Virginia Tech, the Hokie Birds, up there around where my dad's from. He was a convert from down there. Was a Virginia Tech fan back when they sucked and didn't stay on the bandwagon when they got good. He did enjoy seeing them win, but it didn't really pull too hard for him anymore. This team is always a winner, bud. I don't know the last time they had a losing record. I have no clue. I'm pretty sure Beamer never did. So it has to be, what, like 90 or something like that, 91? I don't know. I'm not going to look that up right now. They were 9-4 last year, 5-3 in the ACC. Got some talent coming back. Oh, man, I lost my page here. 7 starters on offense and 5 on defense. So last season, as I said, they beat West Virginia, which is the Friends of Cole Bowl, I think is what that's called, or something like that. That might be the game with Marshall and West Virginia, but used to be a big rivalry, and since they both left the Big East, that's kind of ceased to be. So it was nice to actually watch that, because that was a game, if it was on back when I was a kid, my dad would watch. So I would watch those from time to time. They beat East Carolina big, Old Dominion big, lost to Clemson by 2 touchdowns, and I'm pretty sure that game was never close. They reeled off 3 straight against BC, North Carolina, and Duke before dropping 2 to Miami and Georgia Tech in back-to-back weeks. Then they won 2, beating Pittsburgh and Virginia, and then lost to Oklahoma State by 9 in the bowl game. That was the Camping World Bowl. I think it used to be the if I'm not mistaken, that might have been the Champs Bowl. They'd rename it. The hell, Champs probably still got it. Went out of business,
didn't it?
Oh, did it? Champs did? I have no idea.
Sports Authority, never mind.
Oh, okay. Well, let's just tell lies.
Lies.
That's fine. Josh Jackson, their quarterback last year, had 2,991 yards, 20 touchdowns, and 9 picks. Deshaun McLeese was their leading rusher with 530 yards, 4.9 a carry, 3 touchdowns. Really a committee approach back there in the backfield. That was kind of middle-of-the-road offense all the way around. But not bad numbers. And if you'd have put a little bit better offense on this team, this is probably a 10-11 win team all day. They ranked 66th in scoring offense with 28 points a game. They ranked 54th in rushing offense at 173 yards a game. 239 passing yards a game is good for 57th nationally. And 412 yards a game only gets you the 53rd national rank nowadays, which, I mean, you can separate that by a little yards here and there. But really getting creeping. It used to be 400 yards was considered really, really good. Now I think like 520 or so, 500 is what's considered elite. I don't know. It's just get college football, pro football is getting crazy with the numbers. On the defensive side of the ball, VT back to their old form. Total defense, 319 yards a game. That was good for 13th nationally. They gave up 199 yards passing the game. That was 33rd. Rushing, they gave up under 120 at 119 yards a game. That was 15th nationally. And scoring defense, very, very good. 14 points a game. That was 4th in the country. Plus 5 in the turnover margin. That ranked 30th. Like I said, returning starters. Got 7 on offense, 5 on defense. Before we get into that, key guys this year, Josh Jackson. This was like a 3-star recruit. I think his dad coached at Michigan. I think his dad, Fred Jackson, I think is his name. 17 touchdowns, 4 picks in his first 8 games. And then he cooled down a little bit and only had 3 TDs and 5 picks in the last 5 games. So really took a step backwards. I do think he will progress. He's got a lot of talent. There's no doubt about it. Ricky Walker at defensive tackle. He's their biggest defensive player, honestly. He's 12 and a half tackles for loss last year. And Yasua Newman at left tackle, all ACC potential, was on the ballot before he went down and missed the final five games with a leg injury. He's your prototype left tackle, big, strong guy. They lost Tremaine Edmonds at linebacker. He was an All-American last year, 14 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks. Tim Settle at defensive tackle was a 330-pounder, had 12.5 tackles for loss. That's big time. Cam Phillips, a wide receiver, he's their all-time leader in receiving yards with 3,027, all-time leader in catches with 236, and has more than doubled any other Tech receiver's yards last year with 964 yards. So missing some big losses. Some of the program's best talent, honestly, is going off of this team. And we'll get into the depth chart real quick. On offense, Josh Jackson returns as the trigger man. And he's a sophomore going to be backed up by Hendon Hooker. And at running back, some new faces, Stephen Peoples and Deshaun McLeese. McLeese is back, wasn't really a starter, returning leading rusher. They'll battle it out there, and both will get playing time, I'm sure. They love to run the football there. And, you know, Fuente has this big-time offense, and I think he'd like to unleash it a little bit more. Maybe he needs more of a Paxton Lynch guy like he had at Memphis, a big, tall guy that just slings it around. But I think having the athletic guy gives it a whole new dimension. They do have three starters back on the offensive line, so I'll start from that end at right tackle. Yasua Newman, he's backed up by – I said that all wrong. Who cares? Terrell Smith. Braxton Pfaff is backed up by T.J. Jackson at right guard. He's a returning starter as well. Kyle Chung, a senior returning starter at center, backed up by Zachariah Hoyt. At left guard, new face, DeAndre Planton, backed up by Lasita Smith. At left guard – or left tackle, Silas Danzy. Backed up by Terrell Smith, who's backing up the right tackle as well. Wide receiver, two returning starters, Eric Kuma, a junior, and Sean Savoy, a sophomore. They'll be backed up by Phil Patterson and C.J. Carroll. Damon Hazelton and Hezekiah Grimsley will battle it out the other wide receiver position. And at tight end, Dalton Keene is returning starter, a sophomore, backed up by Chris Cunningham. On the defensive end, we have Trevin Hill at one end position. He's a junior. He's a returning starter. Two tackles returning starters, a senior Ricky Walker, be backed up by Jared Hewitt, and Vinny Mahota, a senior, backed up by Darius Fullwood. Emmanuel Belmar and Raymond Miner will back up the ends. The other starting end, excuse me, is listed as Hushun Gaines. And there are two inside linebackers when they switch out and go to the 3-4. Going to be Rashard Ashby battling it out with Docs Hallifield. For that position, and Dylan Rivers and Jalen Griffin battling out for the other one. Mook Reynolds, returning starter, outside linebacker. He's a senior, backed up by Devin Hunter. Adonis Alexander and Jeremy Webb are going to be in a fight for the one corner position, and Caleb Farley and Bryce Watts for the other. Reggie Floyd, a returning starter at strong safety. He's a junior, backed up by Devin Hunter. And free safety, Divine Diablo. He'll be backed up by Khalil Ladler. At kicker, Brian Johnson. And Oscar Bradburn at punter. And who cares who's in the return game? They got a few names listed here.
Who cares?
I'm just really trying to wrap this up now. Let's get into the schedule, and then we'll wrap this thing up and give you a prediction here of where we think the whole thing's going to shake out. At Florida State, first game.
Lose.
William and Mary.
Two people.
Yeah.
Win.
East Carolina.
Win.
Old Dominion.
Win.
Duke at Duke.
Win.
They're at Old Dominion, really? All right. Playing in Norfolk. At Duke.
Win.
Notre Dame.
Win. Upset.
I don't know. Maybe.
Putting it on.
At North Carolina.
Win.
Georgia Tech. We're just going contradictory, so just go ahead and do it. Don't pick it. BC.
Lose.
At Pitt.
Win.
Miami.
Lose.
Virginia.
Win.
I think they go and I think they're going to start off, if you want my honest opinion, 5-0 before they play Notre Dame on October 6th. And I could see Notre Dame beating them. I'm going to give Notre Dame the nod. I think they beat North Carolina and Georgia Tech. BC could sneak up on them, but I think they squeak it out. Pitt, Miami, and Virginia are dangerous. I could see them losing two of those, but I'm only going to call one. So I think this is a solid 9-10 win ball club. I really do. I think they can contend. And with that being said, we're going to go back to where we started this whole thing. All right, we said that Miami was probably the front runner. I think we picked them to win 10 games. I think you might have had them losing three. I think I said 10-2 maybe better. Who knows? We just said Virginia Tech. I think you picked three losses there. Something is that right? Like that. Something like that. And I'm thinking two at least, so I can be right along there with you with three. So it's safe to say we think it's VT and Miami battling it out for the right to play Clemson. Is that what we think?
Yeah.
And then Clemson's going to beat either one of those anyway. Wouldn't you think? I mean, all things being said, not getting ahead of ourselves, but, I mean, both teams are healthy. All teams involved are healthy. I would still think Clemson has the best talent in the conference. So I'm going to go with my gut and go with the Canes here on this side. Would not surprise me if Virginia Tech gets it done, but I'm going to say a rematch from last year, Canes, Clemson, maybe a little bit closer. Maybe the Canes grew up a little bit. Clemson still takes it. I think Clemson wins the Atlantic Coast Conference and makes the playoff again. I could see one loss, maybe two if things go crazy, but I'm going to say, let's just say one for Clemson, and they make the playoff anyway because they win the ACC title. So I think that's where we can leave it today. And that was kind of tough to get through because I don't really want to talk about Duke football too much, even though I do watch it from time to time. But that's a little tough. The Atlantic Division I find much more interesting. It's honestly better football. You know, Clemson, NC State, Florida State, and really Wake is coming on in Louisville are interesting football teams. And Syracuse has a wide-open offense. BC's not bad to watch. Old school, pound the rock. So everything this side of the division, this side of the conference does, the other side does it better, honestly. So I think the Atlantic's definitely the stronger side. Maybe the other side has more parity, or the Coastal does, but, you know, whatever. I think no matter what, Clemson is Clemson's time right now. I think they're the best team in the Atlantic Coast Conference. No more than one loss for them. They beat Miami in the championship game, and they go on to the college football playoff. Not going to get on into predicting that quite yet, but I will say I do think they're a playoff team again. And that's going to wrap it up today. We're going to go move forward in the next few weeks, try to bring you something. We'll put it out there on Facebook or something and let you know what we plan to do next week. A little bit shorter show, easier to digest, go to a shorter format from here on out. But it takes a long time to go through the depth charts and all these stats and whatnot. So I hate that I've been this long-winded, but I hope you've enjoyed listening. Continue to do so in the future. We appreciate it. And we'll come up with something pretty cool coming forward. And then we're not that far away, just a few weeks out from opening week. And guess what? I think it's two weeks from Saturday. We're there.
Yep.
And we'll be talking about the games and recapping them on Mondays for you. So this has been Wesley Burris and Taylor Griggs from Winter Dice Sports. And this is our Talking Tigers podcast, ACC Coastal Preview. Thanks for listening. And we look forward to bringing you more content in the future.